Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Justin Krupski, and this is Trinity Lutheran Church in Utica, Michigan. We just want to thank you for coming to our in-person worship and certainly joining us online. And the Trinity Brass is here, and I heard you already give them a round of applause, but thank God for their giftedness and for them bringing the brass today to our Reformation worship. I think many of you saw someone else walking up next to me. Many of you might not know who that was. Do we have a fifth pastor here at Trinity? No, not yet. That is a guest preacher that's going to be with us. That is Reverend Dr. Dale Meyer from the St. Louis Seminary. And he is here. It's Reformation weekend. This is a big deal, not just in the Lutheran church world, but in the Christian church world, because the Reformation was all about the gospel, making sure we're getting the gospel right. It is by grace that we are saved through faith. And so this weekend here at Trinity, we want to enlarge our view of the church. Right, Trinity, right? There's thousands of people here, right? But in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, there's actually millions of people, 1.9 million just in the United States that would be gathering for worship today, over 6,000 churches just in the United States of America. And LCMS actually has a global presence to over 70 different countries where we're able to proclaim the gospel. And certainly the church is much larger than just the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We are just a small fraction of disciples of Jesus, but Reformation weekend, it's important for us to see the bigger picture. And also, what we hope to do is continue to raise up the next generation of church workers, not just disciples of Jesus. And so Concordia St. Louis Seminary is here, one aspect of professional church work. In fact, here at Trinity right now, we have one student, just one, at the seminary. He's in his last year, Hayden. And I know that we have two college students that want to go to the seminary in the years to come. We actually have two high school students, and there's a 10-year-old here at Trinity that wants to go to the seminary someday. But I do believe there's more than just that. And not just the seminary, but deaconesses, right? Lutheran school teachers, DCEs, worship leaders, so many ways that people can vocationally serve in the church. And so the month of October, we want to continue just to bring awareness and believe that God wants to raise up the next generation of professional church workers. So maybe today we might be inspired to encourage those in our family, or maybe God's going to inspire us to consider what that might be as we hear Dr. Dale's message. And so we are honored that he is here with us today, and we're looking forward to his message. As we begin, I do have a couple announcements too. So Halloween is coming up, and so here at Trinity, we have a tradition of doing something called Trunk or Treat, where we invite the community here. A lot of the community comes here, and we hand out candy in the name of Jesus. We have a great time doing that, but this year, we decided to equip you all as a congregation, as a community, to go out into the world, and so we're calling it Sweetness of Jesus, sharing the sweetness of Jesus. We have candy bags, which our children's ministry team has put together for us. So if you were here last week, you might have grabbed those. If you weren't here last week, grab one. We're encouraging you to take that to a neighbor's house and just give them that candy and let them know that Jesus loves them. Maybe even invite them to participate in worship either online or in person. But that's just a way for you to get out and to share the sweetness of Jesus, share some candy. Also, next Sunday is November 1st. And November 3rd, we have a big election here in the United States of America, and it seems to me that there's a lot of stress and anxiety, and certainly we always want to pray. We always want to lift up our government and what God is doing, and certainly us as citizens, not just in heaven, but in the United States of America. And so we want to dedicate an evening to prayer. And so we're going to host an in-person prayer service at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary, and it'll also be online. And so we're going to certainly continue to pray through this, and we're going to be faithful as disciples of Jesus in that. And so 7 o'clock next Sunday, we will be here. And so it's so good to be with you, and we're going to begin our worship time with a great hymn of our faith, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And so if you please rise, put on your masks, rise if you're in your homes, and let's sing "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God."
He helps us free from
We do begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And because our fear, love, and trust has wandered away from God to other things, let us call to mind our sin and confess it before God, so that we may live in the forgiveness promised in our baptism. O Almighty God, our Creator and Redeemer, we confess that we have been careless in our appreciation of your mercy and grace. We have been forgetful of all that you have done for our salvation and the world. Our neglect of your word has affected our faith and trust in you. By the blood of Jesus, pleading for us before your throne, and in your great mercy, cleanse us our sin and create in us new hearts, that we may truly fear, glorify, and worship you all the days of our lives. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. So it is in the name of Jesus and by his authority, I do proclaim to you the forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, the redeeming Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray together. Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us all against enemies, and grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And you may be seated. We now turn our attention to God's Word, beginning in the Hebrew Scriptures. So our Old Testament reading comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, beginning at verse 9. And they made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there is no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief when his soul makes an offering for guilt. He shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. This is the word of the Lord. And a New Testament reading comes from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. This is the word of the Lord. you'd please rise for the Holy Gospel reading. And this is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 19th chapter. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated.
Jesus, amen. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 3, 24 and 25. I don't know, Pastor. With some of you have masks on, and those who have taken them off are not smiling. What are you expecting the next 45 minutes? I gotta ask you, Pastor, is this congregation dead or alive? I begin by bringing you greetings from all of us at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, And since I have 45 minutes to preach, I might as well do the commercial up front. And what I say also applies for our sister seminary down in Fort Wayne. When I graduated almost 50 years ago, we had about 170 students in our class. Last year, our entering class had only 40. Now, that's not just the St. Louis and Fort Wayne seminaries. There are 270 accredited seminaries in North America, and they're all experiencing a decline in enrollments. We have taken some action, and this year our entering class is 65, which is about 55% higher than last year. But it's not enough. And I appreciate what Pastor said earlier about the need to make young people in the church aware of vocations in the ministry. Think about it, not having a pastor, people will understandably drift away from worship, but some people will lose their eternal salvation. So thank you for raising up recruitment. Secondly, I want to thank those of you who are donors to both of our seminaries. Most schools of higher education make their money on tuition. Our budget in St. Louis is $24 million, and 90% of that comes from donations of individual peoples and congregations. Over 90%. Our denomination only gives us about 1% of the money we need. Didn't used to be that way, and I'm not blaming the denomination. I'm just saying that's the way it is in these new times. So we thank you for supporting the work of both of our seminaries through your gifts. Thirdly, I'd like to introduce a co-worker of mine. I say co-worker. I'm retired now, but I'm working today. Mrs. Laura Thomas is back there with Pastor. She's near the door so she can get out quickly, I guess. But she works with us, and she's manning the table in the narthex. So I'd encourage you to say hi, to pick up some of the freebies, and talk to Laura. She can answer a lot of questions, and as I'm able, I will try to answer some too. Finally, the most important institutions, in my read of things, are the congregation and the seminaries. Psalm 145 says, "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." My generation, and as I see the color of your hair, our generation is yielding to the next generation. The Lord of the church is raising up the future pastors, deaconesses, teachers, and so on. He's raising them up. And as our time on the stage diminishes, the two charitable offerings that I make, the top of my charity list, is our local congregation and the seminaries. One generation to another. So I thank you for indulging that time of a commercial. And I only have 50 minutes left. It's a great time to be alive. Huh? No, you got to believe it. It's a great time to be alive. I know about COVID, and the worst is yet to come from this morning's news. And I know that the United States, in its government and politics, is dysfunctional. And the world sees that and takes notice. And you may not know that the institutional church is flailing. When I was a kid, I was born right after World War II, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod had 2.7 million members. It has been in decline since 1970, and today, as Pastor said, we have 1.9 million. This concerns me. I get that as much as anybody. But I also know that this is an unprecedented, amazing time to be living. Right now, we have a spacecraft orbiting an asteroid in space. The asteroid is named Bennu. On this Tuesday last, the spacecraft, its name is OSIRIS-REx, did what Air Force people call touch and go. It dropped out of orbit, spent a very short time, seconds, on the surface of Bennu, picked up some rocks, and then went back into orbit. Now, on Thursday, because it had pulverized some rocks, OSIRIS-REx took a selfie to see if any of the dust was on the outside of the vehicle. Yesterday, NASA did a maneuver, and they decided that they had got enough rocks. In fact, they actually got more rocks than they intended, so there's a little problem closing the door on OSIRIS-REx, but apparently that's going to be okay. So one of these days, NASA is going to send the message to OSIRIS-REx to come on home, bring those rocks home. And that journey is a relatively short one, because Bennu is only 200 million miles away. And that is close to home in this great universe. Wow. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created this. Yeah, it's a challenging time. But you and I believe that there is a creator. He has fashioned us. And how dare we say, oh, it's a terrible time to be a creature of God. Wow, 200 million miles. And the creator made a lot more than that. Shut me up. It is also a great time to be the church. And you got to believe that, despite all the challenges that the institutional church has. And you know why it's a great time for us to be the church, for you to be Trinity Congregation? That's because with all the changes in our culture, and with all the dysfunction and threats around the world, you and I get to see anew, or maybe for the very first time, what faith is all about. Faith is not about Martin Luther. Faith is not about the Missouri Synod. Faith is not about Trinity Congregation or Concordia Seminary. Faith is about Jesus Christ. Amen. The things I mentioned are precious. You love your church. I love our seminary. Martin Luther has taught us a lot of things. But you know, Martin Luther is still in his grave. He can't raise himself up from the dead. You want to talk about a dead congregation? Well, right now, Martin is dead. His body is dead. This is a time when you and I focus anew on Jesus Christ. St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, that the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness." Remember, Bennu, 200 million miles away. The God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There's no mask on the face of the Savior. Now, I understand you're in a sermon series, and it's about refocusing. Today's Reformation Day, okay? We remember Luther. Thank God for Martin Luther. And the focus this week is redeeming. We know about redeeming, and we are also redeeming Holy Week. I think your pastors know, and I certainly know, that Reformation, Good Friday, Easter, those are tough sermons to preach because you all come to church knowing the basic message. And we have heard it so many times that it kind of loses its edge. So as I understand the job, I am supposed to redeem what happened Holy Week, right? So let me try to do it this way. I'm a very transparent person. Students know that. I have deep within me, way down deep within me, thoughts, attitudes, feelings, emotions, urges, impulses that are not right. And if they were to come up and be known, I would be so embarrassed. Embarrassed before my family, embarrassed before my friends, the seminary congregation. If those deep things within me came up, I would be so ashamed, I would leave. I'd never want to see anybody again. You're the same. Deep down within you, there are thoughts, feelings, angers, griefs, guilts, that if they came to the surface, if they were exposed, you also would be so shamed that you'd want to hightail it out of town. Sooner, what do we do then when we have these things? Well, you're Christians. And so we stuff it. When something starts to well up within us, stuff it. And that's the right thing to do. And the Word of God, worship, the Spirit of God, enables us to push that stuff down. But it is still damnable sin. I get students that come into class and they say, well, I ask them about the emotions. They say the emotions are neutral. I say, no, they're not. Not since the fall into sin. Not because of original sin. It's damnable stuff that's going on. The great devotional writer Oswald Chambers said that the darkness of the human heart is much like the deepest darks of the ocean. Really dark. You believe in God, the Creator. You believe in Jesus, the Redeemer. You're going to heaven. It's still down there for you and for me. We are fatally flawed individuals. I am a fatally flawed individual, and so are you, despite being a Christian. Well, sooner or later, it is going to be exposed. Now, for all of our sakes, I hope it is later, not sooner. But it is going to be exposed. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that we may receive in our bodies for what we have done, be that good or ill. 1 Peter 1:17 says, you call upon him who as Father who judges each one impartially according to their works. And in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13, it says that we will all appear before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Naked and exposed. Sooner, but certainly later, all this stuff is going to be laid out before God. And you know, this is something we don't hear too much in church. You, put in your name, I, Dale, you are responsible for your own salvation. Which brings us to the problem. I cannot redeem myself. Now let's turn a corner on this expose. Psalm 19 is a beautiful psalm. It begins, verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." And that's why it's a great time to be alive. We're learning from science things about God's creation that we never knew before. "The heavens declare the glory of God," dot, dot, dot. But then down in verse 12 it says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." So we turn. The sermon turns now toward the Redeemer. It used to be, and it will soon be again, that someone dies and you go to the funeral home for the visitation. And Fred or Sally, Sue, John is laid out there in the coffin. And maybe that was a fine person and you say complimentary things about the deceased. Maybe he or she wasn't all that great. But you still, you know, speak no ill of the dead. Da, 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 da. You want to know something? That person in front of you in the coffin is not sinning anymore. He's dead. She's dead. And when you're dead, you have stopped sinning. Whoa. The only way that I am going to be delivered from the sin that still clings in me, the old Adam, they call it, is when I'm dead. And you believe in Jesus, that makes you a saint, but you're a sinner yet, and the only deliverance from the sin is when you are dead. The hymn, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds," says, "From sorrow, toil, and pain, and sin, we shall be free, and perfect love and friendship reign through all eternity." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Epistle lesson: all have sinned, okay, we've established that, and fall short, that's a present tense, and we are still falling short of the glory of God, but we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God, in his love for his fallen people, is anticipating our death and our entrance into heaven. And that's what baptism is about. St. Paul says in Romans 6, "You were buried with Christ by baptism into death." He does not say, "Baptism reminds you that Jesus died for your sins." Mm-mm. He doesn't say, "Baptism symbolizes that you're going to start living a cleaner life and go to heaven because you lead a cleaner life." Uh-uh, doesn't say that. It says, "You were buried with Christ by baptism into death." Now, we're able to send spacecrafts all over the universe. Well, not all over the universe, but more than we did when TWA was flying planes, you know. And time is relative. You're going to find that out next week. We change clocks. Somebody told me that we ought to move the clocks ahead about 6 months to get out of this terrible year. Your baptism, it's a mystery. I don't get it. Baptism is a mystery, but it's like a time travel. Your essential being before God was put in the tomb with Jesus, where Jesus paid the price for our sins. Romans 6 then says also two other things. If we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall be united with him in a resurrection like his. That's going to come. When our bodies are brought out of the grave for eternity with him. Luther's body will come out of the grave for an eternity with him. So when I said, "Is this congregation dead or alive?" The answer is both. You are dead with Christ. And you will be alive eternally in heaven with him. And in between time, We are raised to newness of life. We are different people. And especially in these times when America is not nominally Christian like it used to be, you and I are special people. The congregation has a special mission. We are peculiar people. Dead, alive in newness of life, and one day going to be raised again. That's the gospel. That's the good news. I hope this helps you redeem the idea of Good Friday when Jesus died and Easter when he rose again. We never grow beyond the elemental truth of our faith. Now, I'm not going to use up my 55 minutes that you gave me, so I will I'll wrap this up now. I started by talking about Bennu. Whoa, man, that's amazing. Even more amazing is the fact that God saves my sorry soul, saves your sorry soul. There's another space event happened 52 years ago. It was Christmas Day 52 years ago when we took the first photograph of planet Earth from space. Apollo 9 was going around the moon, and as they went around the moon, the astronauts saw Earth rising over the moon's horizon. Okay? Like the sun rises for us, they saw it. And so they quickly snapped some pictures. You've seen it. It's called Earthrise. You can Google Earthrise. And there, in a background of dark, cold space, you know, Bennu is out there, way out there, and there's a lot more beyond Bennu. In the middle of that is this beautiful paradise that God made. He made it to be our home. Wow. And what have we done with it? We've polluted it. We ourselves are polluted. Our sin continues to lurk deep down in our fatally flawed beings. And what did God, looking at planet Earth, what did he do? Did he send an asteroid to demolish us? No. You know what he did? Sure, you know what he did. He sent an extraterrestrial, an ET, to become one of us. The Son of God comes from eternity. As it was decided by the deity before the world was made, the Son of God comes down, takes on our flesh, lives our lives without sin, and then dies and goes into the tomb, and in baptism, we're dead. But now we are living in the hope of the resurrection. It's a great time to be the church. And if ever there's been a time in the United States, Detroit, St. Louis, needs to see the hope and the optimism that the church has, this is it. It is a sin. I have no doubt about this. It is a sin to say that it's tough times for the church and not to be optimistic. The church is a church of our living Lord Jesus. How dare anyone say this is a terrible time for the church?
Amen.
We trust him. He's going to bring us through this. Arnold Kuntz was the president of the Pacific Southwest District. And he wrote a line. It's in a book. The book is called Devotions for the Chronologically Gifted. I like that, chronologically gifted, okay? Gray hairs. But Kuntz wrote this. Life narrows down and crisis comes. And don't you know it? Oh, you know it. Life narrows down and crisis comes, and suddenly only one thing matters. And there in the narrow place stands Jesus. It is a great time to be Trinity Congregation. It is a great time to be the church. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
So we are continuing to refocus, to focus in on Jesus as all life narrows down. And so certainly we are disciples of Jesus, and we have an opportunity now to profess our faith in Jesus with joining all those that have gone before us and all those all around the world today in a common statement of faith called the Nicene Creed. And so if you're in your homes, if you're in the sanctuary, if you please rise, let's proclaim our faith in Jesus together in these words. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, whom all things were made. For us men, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit, the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And you may be seated. This time I want to ask our ushers to please bring forward our offerings. And as our offerings are brought forward, I want to acknowledge what God is doing in you and through you. And certainly if this is your first time with us online or in person, a way that you can give and just a way you can be connected to the ministries of Trinity with prayer requests and other opportunities is you can text the word Trinity to 797979. As I heard Dr. Meyer preach and we received this message, I'm reminded that Jesus said, right, the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. It is a good time to be alive. It is a good time to be a disciple of Jesus and certainly part of the ministries here at Trinity. God is on the move. We see this every week through your lives and the lives of so many people that God is connecting with us and that God is moving through. And certainly our offering time is just a way for us to acknowledge that, but also to see that God is not done with us. For the last 7 months, your offerings have exponentially increased, which means what God wants to do through all of us and through Trinity is going to exponentially increase. I don't know what tomorrow looks like, but I know what tomorrow looks like, hope. There's so much hope for what God wants to do through us and for us. And so thank you for partnering with us, and let's continue to have hope as we look to the future and to this life that God is calling us to, because it is a good time to be alive. And so thank you for your offerings, and may God bless these offerings and continue to enable us to share his story with love. So now in this moment, as faithful disciples of Jesus, he's given us the gift to pray. And so if your body is able, we'd encourage you, if you could use the kneelers in the pews and also from your homes, if you want to gather with your family, you can hold hands, you can kneel by your couches, wherever you are. But let's take that humble posture of prayer if your body is able. So gracious Father, we are here once again before your throne of grace, coming to you with confidence because of what Jesus has done for us. Lord, there are many needs that we have in this time. There are trials. Lord, there are those among us that have asked us to pray for them. So in this moment, we do lift up Lori Briscoe, Elise Brookman, Joyce Decker, Kevin Fish, Kathy Hazlett, Philip Hodge, Joe Marie, and Karen, Lisa, Elmer Meitzner, Tom Werlicki, Tom Parrison, Kim Shepper, Joanne Schirmacher, Dick Spies, Joanne Werner, David Edwards, and Valerie Wallbridge. We also lift up the families of Donald Champagne and Richard Haskins and Ruth Clear. Lord, as they are now with you in heaven, and as these families grieve, we pray that you would give them hope, that you would give them comfort. Lord, for all those who need healing and strength in this time, we do pray that you would meet them where they are. Lord, that you would remind them that you are with them and that you are working through this. And Lord, in this moment, as we are before your throne of grace, there are many needs that we have outside of just the needs that we just lifted up. And so please hear our silent petitions, our supplications for those that we love in all areas in our own life as we raise these before your throne of grace. So please hear our silent prayers. So, Lord, as we come to you, we also give you thanksgiving. There's so many areas in our life to be thankful for. Lord, for the birthdays being celebrated in our congregation, for Ekaterina Klein, for Sherry Daniel, Ted Wiesenberg, Shannon Goodrich, Greg Carlson. Lord, and all other birthdays that are being celebrated, we thank you for the life that you have given these individuals. We just ask that you continue not only to bless them, but cause them to be a blessing. For wedding anniversaries being celebrated, specifically for Roger and Shannon Goodrich, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of marriage and for their marriage. And we pray that they continue to fight for one another and that the goodness of marriage would shine through their marriage to the world. And we thank you for our baptisms, and specifically the baptisms of Alexander K. Kaluzzi, Connor Neil Bakari, and Claire Payton Cookbush, who've all been baptized this week. And we thank you for this gift, this sacrament, where we are buried with you and we are brought to life with you, where the gospel is received. Lord, there are so many things to be thankful for. May we always continue to see those and to give you the recognition that you deserve for the goodness in our lives. And we continue to lift up Liz Groupie. We pray for peace and comfort for her and her family. We give you thanksgiving for good test results for Eva Kroll and Leah. We continue to pray for those who are suffering with depression and those who are infected with COVID-19 at this time. We continue to pray for our shut-ins and those in independent and assisted living facilities, that they may stay healthy, that they would keep their spirits up and not be depressed or scared. And we do continue to lift up our country, our government, doctors, nurses, medical staff, first responders, and law enforcement, and certainly the ministries here at Trinity, our day school ministry, our pastoral ministry, our family life ministry, our social ministry, our Bible study ministries. Lord, please be with our leadership here and continue to give us, Lord, wisdom and discernment and courage. We thank you for this moment to worship you, to hear your word. And in this moment, we are reminded of this gift of prayer as we do pray to you. And now we join together praying this prayer that you taught us in your Son, Jesus, these petitions that we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And you may be seated. And as we get ready for our communion moment, I want to speak just for a moment for those who are in their homes, and I do want to encourage you. When you are ready, when you feel that you are ready to come back to church, we are here. We are being responsible as much as we can, and certainly, again, call up us pastors. We love to come visit you. We love to set up a time to give you communion, because we realize that you cannot have communion in your home, but we're going to have communion right now in person. I do see many new faces here today, faces that I haven't seen for several months, and each week we continue to see more and more people come back to church, and we're certainly going to continue to be faithful in bringing worship online into your homes, but in this moment, I'm going to speak directly to those who are here in person, and certainly for those of you who are in home, please hear these words and receive these truths too. But as you came in, hopefully you're able to grab the communion elements. If you weren't able to, just please raise your hand. We have a couple ushers in the back that will bring those to you. But please be patient as I share the words of institution. Then we'll open up the bread and the wine together and receive Christ's body and his blood together. And so the scriptures tell us that it was on the night that Jesus was betrayed. He was gathered with his closest disciples, celebrating the Passover meal. And over the period of that meal, Jesus did take bread. He gave thanks, he blessed, and he broke it. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you." And after supper, he did the same thing with the cup. After he gave thanks, he blessed it, and he gave it to them. He said, "Take and drink, every one of you. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink this often in remembrance of me." So Jesus is here in this moment, and he wants to give us this great gift, this assurance of our faith that we are forgiven. We're forgiven for all that stuff inside, right, and all that stuff that we do and that we don't do. We are forgiven, and certainly his presence, his strength, his courage is here, because it's not about what we can do, it's about what he can do through us. So as we receive his body and his blood, may the peace of the Lord be with you always. And I'll take and eat the body of your Savior Jesus given for you. And also take and drink the blood of your Savior Jesus poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Now may the true body and the true blood of your Savior Jesus continue to strengthen you and preserve you in your faith, in your one true faith, until life everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And now as we close our time, we are alive and we get to sing this great song of our faith, not just here in the sanctuary, but also in our homes. This hymn, "Crown Him with Many Crowns," let our voices rise up to heaven, and may this world hear us praise Jesus in this moment. So let's stand, let's put on our masks, let's stand in your homes, and let's sing "Crown Him with Many Crowns." So as we get ready to go on our ways, living in the truth that we are redeemed by Jesus, I think it would be appropriate for us to give Dr. Reverend Dale Meyer a round of applause. And I'll say it because of this, because of his faithful years of service for the church. You heard him kind of jokingly say he's retired. Certainly he's still doing ministry now, but let's give God just some praise and thank Dr. Dale Meyer for not just his years of service, but certainly his courage for coming here this week in the midst of all of the COVID and for that message that God just delivered through him. So let's give him a round of applause. And I do want to remind you that the sweetness of Jesus Halloween trick-or-treat, a full of candy bags are in the back for you to grab and for you to be a disciple of Jesus and let his light shine in your neighborhood. But as you go, please go with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Amen. And Jesus suffered and died for you because he loves you. So go and share his good news with those you meet this week. Depart in his peace. Amen.